The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander alongside Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Yeah, man. Aren't you glad to be back?
Yeah. In studio. I'm glad to be here with you.
I'm always glad to be here with you, but this was how many weeks where you missed great pre-show meeting conversations like we just had, okay?
Oh, that you can't put a price.
Breaking down toilet paper around the world.
Speaking of which, couldn't help but notice as I came down the elevator, you were going back to the studio, yeah. And I have an overhead view of you.
I get a bald spot or something?
You are really, really tamping down that arm swing. Is that like by design?
Well, have we had this conversation before?
That gave you a complex about it?
No, yeah, we've had that, and sure did. You did. Yeah. You nailed it. It was always something that was in my head, and Gil just picked it out perfectly. But no, I think it's physics, man. I think it makes sense. As I've lost weight.
Oh, you don't have to go outside.
Right. Like, I think there's like a little bit of like a swing momentum of like getting your momentum going forward, and you're a bigger guy.
Glad we got that solved.
I think that's what's going on.
So what you're saying, you were doing a roundish thing before. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. That, as important as the show we're about to do. Cleve T.A. joining us today. Let's go.
Go.
Among the many, I don't know about many, but among those that do preview guides, and we're talking VSiN at the top. Mm-hmm. We're talking about our buddies, Aaron Schatz, Warren Sharp, everybody who does annual preseason NFL football guides for the upcoming season. Cleve's is always one I look forward to because it's very succinct. It's very betting focused specifically like ours is. And he's got a take that I always want to hear.
Yep.
And we will talk to Cleve about some of the new features that he has in his new CleveAnalytics.com revamped website with Survivor Opt. He had this last year, but I don't think as quite as streamlined as it is this year. We'll ask him.
Yeah, it's
Survivor Optimization.
It's nice.
Tool on there as well.
Did you play around with it? I played around with it. It's pretty cool.
I don't know if I can say I played around with it. Looked at it and I clicked a couple times.
It is. I mean, look, I think for having, whether it's his or somebody else, is just having those type of tools as you're preparing for Survivor Run, which we're going to talk about today, very important.
Appreciate the password you gave me, by the way, on there as well. It's very creative.
I didn't set that up. You did.
Oh, you did? Oh, so whoever did, I appreciate it. So Cleve on football, Drew Densick, of course, off his performance at Bet Bash was awesome by all accounts. His tennis seminar.
He was awesome. Yeah.
Still waiting for Spanky to send me the video.
Oh my God.
Of that, I would like to.
If you need me to break down the last 15 minutes of it, I can do that play by play. It was fantastic.
Spanky had to come in and say, wrap it up.
Oh yeah, Spanky. He wasn't happy, and I was wondering how much longer we were going to go. And of course, Drew was answering every question that was asked. And
of course, he's great.
And then out of nowhere, Preston Johnson appeared in the middle of the crowd without his beard, so nobody recognized him. And
Drew from the stage was like Preston.
Yeah, he was asking the last question. I was very entertained sitting at the back.
Drew will talk if he has any tennis in Canada for us today. We will get that from him. Also, NFL talk. With Drew, Mark Borchardt on baseball, Joe Sheehan on baseball, packed show, great guests. And I want to start the show with something we don't normally do, which has nothing to do with sports betting, but it has to do with just, for those of us who have watched sports all our lives, the never-ending amazement of the sport that is baseball to me, which is, and I brought this up on many occasions before, I always go back to the dream team in 1992, the Barcelona basketball team, USA basketball team. To just give you a sense of how basketball wasn't completely global at that point. Like, it hadn't really spread to every corner of the earth. I remember after one of their wins, Team USA was up there at the podium, and a reporter asked Karl Malone specifically, why does a basket count for 2 points? And Karl Malone, in his aw shucks kind of way, was like, hey, you know, some things just are, right? And then that led to a whole conversation throughout my life with my buddies of like, what's the hardest sport to explain to people? And it's always baseball, because imagine sitting, if you ever tried this, and I have, sitting with someone who is not from this country, and you try to explain baseball has rules within rules within rules within rules. Like, once you think they've got it down, then you have to explain the infield fly rule to them. Oh, I thought you said that was a third strike. Yeah, but the catcher dropped the ball, and there was no, you know, first base, there's nobody there, so you got to throw it there for an out. There's any number of these things, right, in baseball, rules within rules. Did you see this last night in the Jays Red Sox game?
I was telling Danny, I saw the highlight this morning. I saw the first full highlight, Gil, and I was busy getting ready, and I'm like, I'm going to need to see this four more times before I understand this.
How many baseball games do you think you watch in your life?
Oh, five bajillion?
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I needed to watch it a few times too. And what's so funny this morning, well, we'll get to that, but it's 2-0 Blue Jays. For those who missed it, 2-0 Blue Jays. By the way, Red Sox lose their third straight. They finally got the memo that it was not July anymore.
They suck.
They're terrible. You realize when they won 27 out of 30, people were accusing them of cheating. It's got to be cheating. Well, here's three losses in your pie hole. We're not cheating. No, okay. So it's 2-0 Jays. Sox have runners at first and third, one out. I think it was the seventh inning. Don't hold me to the inning. Doesn't matter the inning. 2-0 Jays. Sox have runners at first and third, one out. Fly ball to center field.
Right.
Caught. Second out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both runners, first and third base, thought that there were already two outs when that ball went off the bat of Zidane Rafaela.
Because that's what it said on the scoreboard?
The scoreboard. The announcer tried to make a big deal about the scoreboard. The scoreboard is just a guide for fans. The scoreboard is not what people are going
by. That's a good point.
But they both thought, maybe they did think, because of the scoreboard, I have no idea. But they thought it was the second out. And they thought there were already two outs. And they thought that ball in the outfield caught was the third out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the second out. And so then what do? You throw the ball back. They threw it to first base for what they believed was the third out, right? End of inning.
Yeah.
Wrong. Apparently, what happened here is something I've never seen on a diamond before. The Jays had two options. They could have thrown to third base, right, and record the out on that runner. Or, because getting to this point is, the umpires then consulted. We thought it was the end of the inning. The umpires then consulted and said the run scores from third. So apparently what the Jays could have done, they had two options. They could have thrown to third and recorded the out on that runner.
Because both runners left.
Both runners left.
Yeah.
Or two, after recording the third out at first base, they could immediately appeal the runner at third before abandoning the field. Appeals take precedence on plays that also involve the recording of a third out. Otherwise put, let me try to do it another way. Since the runner from third scored before the third out, the run counts because it's not a force, but a timing play. What Toronto should have done, again, after the out at first, they legally could have thrown to third and appealed that runner left early. That would have been the elusive, what they call fourth out.
Which is, but real quick, that's just my favorite part of this story.
Because it confuses it further.
Gil, how many games have we watched and have I ever heard a fourth out?
Never
heard that before in my life.
And that would have replaced the third out, nullified the run. But once all, this is the key of the whole thing, once all the infielders crossed the foul line, once all the Jays crossed the foul line, meaning they were already basically considered in the dugout, the ability to appeal the play was lost, and once that happened, the run was officially counted. It's sort of a mind. What I love is the blowhards on Twitter who are like, is it too much to ask the players to know the rules? And then they recite exactly what I did because they learned it 20 seconds earlier. There's another way that I would sort of try to convey it, which is the confusing part, I think, to some also might be, if the ball was trapped in the outfield, that would have been more normal for us because then there would have been confusion as to whether it was the second or the third out. And then it would make sense. But it was just such a routine fly ball that we're not used to seeing it that way.
So did the umps end up getting it right in the end? They did, right?
They got it right.
Because it's a timing play with tags.
But literally none of the players, not John Schneider, the manager, nobody of the Blue Jays, nobody got it.
Right.
And so it's back to the baseball's baseball is the most nuanced thing ever.
And then is the biggest takeaway for any teams like the make sure you challenge, right, or make a big deal about it before your players leave the field.
That last part for sure. Yes. Like if there's any doubt, don't abandon the field.
If there's any doubt, everybody just sit down and don't leave the field
screaming
at all.
At each other. Anyway, well, I don't know. But to your question, I don't know how both runners thought it was two outs. Maybe it was the scoreboard. I don't know. But scoreboard is not official.
I heard that this morning. Yeah. The scoreboard was set up.
The scoreboard was definitely said two outs. But again, that's not what you go on.
I don't know how you reacted, but if you could have seen my eyes roll when I heard the phrase fourth out this morning. I'm like, baseball, sure. It's only been going on for about 700 years. I got a fourth out.
Never heard that rule. Anyway, that was the never-ending quirks of baseball.
Then I heard heard someone talking about it. They were playing soundbite for someone talking about it after the game, who was talking about a fourth out. Like, that happens all the time.
I texted Jensen, actually, on the drive here. I was like, Jensen, if you were on the field, Jensen Lewis, who hosts By the Books with Dave Ross before us, who played at the highest level, played for the Cleveland Indians, was their closer. I said, Jensen, if you were on the diamond yesterday and that happened, would you have known at all what was going on? He goes, oh, hell no. I don't know if he said hell, but he said no. He wouldn't have known either. Who would have?
I'm texting him right now how many fourth out games he played in.
I do have a tennis play today. We are at the back end of the quarterfinals in Toronto. We're still playing the full quarterfinals in Montreal because I think they had rain last night and they all got swept away. I assume that's why the matches weren't played. But I am on Belinda Bencic tonight as a +140 dog against Coco. These two have a little bit of history. China Open last year. Bencic got mad at Coco's
I was a little surprised to see
coaching box. What's that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
She was like, they're cheering right before I serve. Then, you know, she's saying this to the ump. Then Coco said something and Bencic barked at Coco. She's like, hey, I'm not talking to you. I'm too old for this, these mind games. I'm too old for these mind games. I got Bencic tonight, +140 versus Coco in what should be a banger of a quarterfinal match, going with the dog there. You can still get that price or close to it right now this morning. That was for subscribers last night. Iga last night, though, man. Iga advances to the semis.
Coco heat check, though. We've swung back to pro Coco, right? This just price
in terms of her game?
Yeah.
Oh, she's playing very well.
Okay. It's just price went too far for you.
Yes, on Coco. Correct. Okay. Belinda Bencic should be a +140 dog here. No, sir. That's the only tennis play at the 1000 in Toronto tonight. Coming back, NFL, Cleve TA, Drew Dinsick, and more. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football's back. Some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. As we discussed at length yesterday, sign up for VSiN Pro today and get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets, Kelly. Not sure if you're aware of that.
We got tweets.
T-Pars 2, one of the puzzle categories tonight on Wheel of Fortune, this is last night, was a numbers game. Hey, how about that? Bill Margulewski, crazy situation in Toronto.
Yeah, I really wanted him to send like the puzzle when it was completed.
When it was complete.
Yeah, when it was complete.
You have to trust him is what you're saying.
I'm going
to
go with the first word was the, Gil.
Oh, the number. Oh, that's right, because there's three. Never mind. This is from Haji. Hey, Gil, I ran into some guy at the South Point. Says he knows you. Steve Fezzik inside the South Point? Well, that's news alone right there.
Parlay cards are out.
You know, I have to scan through with these tweets. I have to, like, aggressively go around the crack Maldonado battle going on here that I've been tagged into.
Okay.
Let's see here. Kenny G, who's a listener to the show. Welcome back from vacation. Thank you. He said, I was in town last week to sign up for Circa. And guess who I ran into? Dustin Sweetelson, my mishpucha, on his way to do his show. He was kind enough to stop and give a few minutes of his time. Also met Mike Palm at the Long Bar. Have a great show. Thank you, Kenny G. Appreciate that. This is from, let's see, Colin Murphy. I don't think Kelly's arm swing is because he lost weight, or his tamping down of the arm swing is because he lost weight. He says it's more so because Dustin has adopted you into the New Age Outlaws and pulled you out of the Bushwhackers. I don't know what any of that means, but okay.
Dude, me either. I don't. There's a lot of wrestling references going on when Dustin's and I don't get any of them either.
Dustin
so.
Back on Cashing Out nightly.
That's right.
Here on the
Go
network.
Check it out, man. It's great.
Jason H11. So you're saying Kelly walked like George Jefferson. That's right. He did walk like George Jefferson. Not exactly. Kevin Ryan. Gil, I was watching the Red Sox game live and listened to the explanation from the umps and the broadcaster. I listened to you explain it, and I still don't understand it. Yeah, I get it. No emu Doug. But what if you cross the international dateline at third? An LFC title records. I'm not a biology nerd, but I imagine there's a major arm swing difference between a spider monkey and a gorilla, a.k.a. Kelly of the past.
There we go.
I think he called you a gorilla.
The gorilla needs more help getting that momentum going.
That's a good call, LFC.
By the way, so I just looked up the rule.
Yeah.
I actually think this happens more often than we're just aware of. So, like, the fourth out rule allows the defense to record an extra legal out after three apparent outs are already made, which can supersede the third out and nullify a run. But, like, don't we kind of see that often when there's tag-up situations?
Yeah,
let me throw it over to
third.
I've
just never heard it referred to that way.
No, me neither. Yeah. But it's, like, I actually think it just happens more often. We just don't hear them say, oh, there's the four-out rule.
What was Jensen's response to your text? What did he say?
Oh, it was very pitcher-focused. So I asked him, how many four-out games did you play in?
Yeah.
And he said he definitely pitched in a game either the bigs or the minors where he had to record four outs because on the third out, there was a dropped third strike and runner reached base safe.
Yeah, that's like, more normal.
Like, Jensen, we kind of all know that one. I was talking about this one. He goes, but never have I played in a game with the infamous four-out rule like last night.
Last thing, by the way, because I left this hanging about the tennis stuff. Iga in the semifinals in Toronto, real quick, 10 seconds. If she manages to win this tournament, Cincinnati, she's got two more matches to do that. Forget the fact that she's won three out of four slams. It is one slam away from the career slam. This will be her eighth 1,000 title. Eighth a different 1,000 title. Do you know how many 1,000s there are? 10. If she wins this, she would be too shy of the 1,000 slam in addition to the actual Grand Slam suite. That's almost more amazing than the slam thing.
How many shy?
If she wins this, she'll be too shy. She'll have 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
I think the only two that she won't have are, get ready for this, Dubai and Wuhan, beginning and end of the tennis calendar. It's incredible.
She's plus 150
clearly,
right now to win Toronto.
Clearly the best all-court player of her generation. It's not even close.
What did we look at yesterday? What were her odds of US Open? 9-1?
9-1.
Okay.
Something.
Play the game.
Something seems to have unlocked her after the first set against Kostyuk in the round of 60.
I'm going
to
play the game you always play with me with Scheffler and golf.
Oh.
If she wins this tournament, and then she wins in Cincinnati, right? Cincinnati,
which she won last year.
Okay, and then she wins in Cincinnati, Gil. What are her odds to win the U.S. Open?
Oh, it would drop significantly.
I mean, like half? Plus 450?
Oh, at least, yeah.
Right?
She
something
won
like
and
that,
won?
Right? Yeah,
oh,
one and
God,
one.
Yeah. By the way, I'm doing Cincinnati radio for the Cincinnati Open, thanks to you.
Nice.
Appreciate that. August wins. Our Tigers did not play last night, but we have at the top of the standings now, after the Tigers were idle, Tigers, I think, are in fourth or fifth. There we go, fifth. Rays with a massive, was that a seven-run inning they had yesterday? Was that an eight-run inning to take a deficit and turn it into a big margin of victory over the Athletics in Sacktown last night? I think they were down 6-3 and they won 10-6. They score seven in one frame. Rays are 8-1 here in August. Cubbies 7-2. Phillies won yesterday. They're 7-3. Padres won yesterday. They're 7-3. There are our Tigers, who have played fewer games. They're 6-2. Tigers still have the best run differential if you are scoring at home for the Circa tiebreaker. Tigers tonight begin a three-game set at home. The friendly confines part of August begins for the Tigers tonight. Three against the Guardians. Three against the White Sox. Huge playoff implications for them, both division and wild card, let alone our August bet.
I just can't believe the names of the teams that are on this graphic.
Oh, I'm glad you brought this up. We're 11 days in, we've completed 10 days of August, so we're roughly a third of the way into August.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
checking, yes.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is not necessarily, like, far into it, but also not negligible amount
of days.
No,
not at all.
This is the one we've tracked these monthlies now for almost 3 years. This is the most have-nots month we've ever had so far at this
sure
point.
Sure feels like it.
All of these teams on that graphic have won six or more games, right? There is like, I'll look at my things. I think there's like one team that has won five games. I'll get this right.
Yeah, I mean, there's
three teams have won five, four have won four, and the rest of them, right? Like eight have won three and four have won two, including the Dodgers. So it's like a complete gap. Usually the biggest amount's in the middle. It's the opposite here.
I mean, everybody, if you're watching at home, right, everybody on this screen is currently in the playoffs except for, what, the Blue Jays and Mets and one of the NL wildcard teams, like Padres or Diamondbacks?
Yeah, correct.
That's pretty well.
And the Tigers are on the outside looking.
Oh, the Tigers. Yeah. Okay, so Rays, that Rays game last night, they were down 6-2 entering the eighth inning. Played at eight in the top of the eighth.
Yeah. And I think they like scored six before they even recorded an out. It was ridiculous. This just in, A's not great at baseball. All right, most wins, we tried to get to this yesterday, we didn't. Most wins, fewest wins. You can bet on this. Most regular season wins, the Dodgers are still the short shot. If you look at the current standings, the Brewers lost. I mean, every night matters here, right? Mm-hmm. So the Brewers lost last night. So the Brewers are 7. Let me give the records here. The Brewers are 74-45. Again, we're about to be at the quarter pole of the MLB regular season. The Brewers have won 3 more games than both the Dodgers and Braves, who are exactly 3 games behind the Brewers at 71-48. The Rays are the fly in the ointment. Because they've won 72. They're 72-46. So if you look at these numbers right now, the question becomes, is there a bet here? If you want to do strength of schedule the rest of the way, which I think is the most informative thing about this, because now is the time of year, Kelly, where strength of schedule in baseball matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a short enough runway where it's actually a distinction that you might want to sort of look at.
Yeah, you've got enough sample that you could actually go off of that now.
Let me start with the Brewers, Rays, and Braves. The closest, Brewers are at the top right now. Brewers have the 5th hardest remaining schedule by aggregate opponent win percentage left in Major League Baseball. Braves have the 4th hardest remaining schedule. Rays are middling at 14th. Dodgers, 8th easiest. That's why they're plus 105. But when we first started doing this, who did I recommend? The Brewers. They were over $4 at that point. They still have a 3-win lead over everybody. I don't know if they're going to get there, but remember, the Dodgers couldn't care less about having the most. They just want to be a 1 or 2 seed. So I still think, I actually think the Rays are the best bet now, because the Rays, I think, are going to have to stave off the Yankees in the end. And so I think they'll be pushed. I don't think the Dodgers will be pushed. Ultimately, again, the Brewers' schedule is hard, so I don't know. I hope people bet the Brewers when I said to. I'd bet the Rays now if I had to make a bet.
Yeah, this was man, a month. It feels like it was a month of us saying Brewers. They were 4-1. They were 4-1 still like last week.
And now they have lead by 3 wins. They weren't in the lead then.
Even for some of the time, like last week they had taken that lead and you were still getting like 4-1 on them. Yeah, and we said it every time we brought it up. I think Dustin and I talked about it a couple times, too. I never bet it, of course. And now, of course, plus 260 doesn't look nearly as nice. And you go and re-examine the schedules left. And I think you pointed it out fairly. Then that's what I wrote down for today, too, is Rays. I'm like, if I had to bet something right now, it'd be Rays.
And by the way, fewest regular season wins, I would go and bet the Rockies now. They're even money. They're 46-73. I know the Angels have one fewer win right now. They're plus 150. But the Rockies have the 9th hardest remaining schedule, and I just think they stink at baseball. We're even showing plus 105. I'd bet the Rockies now. I wouldn't think too hard about it. Not a huge conviction bet, but that would be my recommendation there.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
$30 million guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with 3 circus sports contests. Entry starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That's the key. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million. 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. You getting your funds together for that? Grandissimo entry?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Enter. That didn't sound sincere. Enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for details. I know this next gentleman is big on playing the Circa contests. He's also big on putting out what I love every year. I was talking about it earlier, how, you know, we have a VSiN NFL preview guide here at the network. Our buddy Aaron Schatz has done one for many years. Warren Sharp has done one for many years. But this gentleman is developing a tradition of doing this as well. It's been a handful of years now. It's our buddy Cleve TA on Twitter, C-L-E-V-T-A, known throughout the football betting community. And he's got his new free 2026 NFL preview guide out at cleveanalytics.com. TA, what's happening, man?
What's going on, guys? We were rehashing the Bet Bash week last week, and you kind of hear it in my voice. I'm still recovering, but it was a really fun time, and got some really good compliments on the guide. So it was really, really nice to see, and I appreciate it from everyone who stopped and talked to me last week.
Well, I was telling you off air, I got more than a few folks who texted me. They were thrilled to meet you. So that alone, right? People were like, because they'd never seen you before, right? So they were happy to see you, and they're influenced by your work. How much are you enjoying? I think I've asked some version of this in the past, doing the guide itself, because I think you would answer, well, you know, it's part of my process anyway, so might as well, aw shucks, put out a guide. But it seems like you're really enjoying this more and more every year.
I don't know if enjoy is the right word, because it's a labor of work in the summertime. I've got two young kids now, and you know, you got a lot of their activities to attend. So I've been pushing it off later and later in the summer. It used to be I would release it around 4th of July. Now it's, you know, I think this year was late July. So it's getting harder, and you know, I've added more things to it. I've, you know, instead of one page team previews, I've added kind of a second kind of cover, you know, page with some more data and charts and numbers and things like that to spruce things up. But yeah, the actual process itself gets a little, you know, can wear on me, but it does help for my process. And again, just hearing, you know, everyone with the compliments and how much it helps them and things they can get out of it, it does make you feel good. And so that's the satisfaction I get personally from it. So yeah, the kind of the output is where I get that satisfaction.
Well, we're going to talk about some of your picks, both team futures and some awards here coming up. But I want to talk about one of those things that you have going on the site, which is your Survivor Optimizer, which I know you, I think you started to dabble in this in previous years, or at least last year, I remember you did so. But now it's all tricked out. You can actually toggle to the rules of varying contests, right? Including Circa, which we just talked about moments ago.
Yeah. So I had a kind of a basic version last year, which would, you know, just helps. Obviously, we know Survivor is a combination of, you know, pure math when it comes to, you know, optimal path and all those sorts of things you have to plan out for the full year. And, you know, you don't want to get stuck without certain teams available during the holiday weeks and just towards the end of the year, especially with this many survivors, you know, in the contest. So, you know, I've kind of advanced things a little bit more. I've added, yeah, you can either, if you're in Circa Survivor with their, you know, specific rules with the holiday weeks, you've got that. You can drop down to the new, you know, Splash Sports Survivor rules, which have what, 8 double weeks, yeah, that you have to choose from. And they're like random weeks, like weeks 3, 6, 9, and then I guess 12 through 16. So, you know,
the fact that they make that you do as week 3 is so cruel. Right? Double on week 3.
I know.
Yeah.
And then also, just if you're in like an old school standard 18 week pool, just kind of pick one team a week. I've got that option as well. So, you know, that is in there. And then just added a handful of features that I think is interesting that I wanted to use and look for. Things like, you know, you can start from different weeks. So if you're in a contest that, you know, a second chance pool, for example, you can start, you know, mid season, you can pick a week there. And then also, like, I know people wanted to see, like, I know specific weeks that I know for sure I'm going to pick a team, or I think I'm going to pick a team. You can lock those teams in for those specific weeks and then rerun
the
path to see what it looks like. So, and then the final thing I have that I think is really, I don't think I've seen anywhere else. Now this is a little bit more detailed, but obviously understanding where the rest of the pool is going to be on certain weeks. So essentially I call it the public yes, pick percentage. You know, you can insert your own percentage for any game of any week and see how that affects the algorithm and the path, because obviously the more, you know, saturated a certain pick is a certain week, and you can use, you know, public pick information that's out there, aggregate that, or just insert your own and just see if that changes the path going forward. You can do that as well. So a bunch of different things I have. And then I just, you know, the qualitative aspect of, you know, just kind of talking through the different options. I have that and I've had that for a number of years. So yeah, that's all on there. And like I said, it's not, you know, a lot of people have this information and, it, you know, it's a little bit more art than science to some, you know, respects, but you know, at least understanding the path, I think you've got a tool in your back pocket, and that's what I try to provide.
Super cool.
Yeah, I loved the be able to lock in a team for a certain week down the road. Yeah. Like, that's great, because it's so many times we're writing notes off to the side with that stuff. And then, yeah, the percentages, Cleve, I think that's it's a great bonus. And for anybody playing in these contests, yeah, definitely go check that out. It's simple, easy to use. Free to use, go check it out.
And just, is it free to use? I want to clarify that.
Subscriber, actually.
Yeah, the guide is free, but the
Kelly's giving away for free.
Yeah. Spending someone else's money. The Survivor Optimizer is behind a paywall. Yes.
The preview is free. Yeah, yeah. The Optimizer. So I have the Survivor tool with the analysis, along with just my, if you're in a ATS pick pool, I pick all games every week with kind of the circa millions frozen lines for the people that want to participate. So that's on the site as well. That's one of the options. So that's up there.
It's fantastic. All right, let's get to we'll get a bunch more after the break here, because you're kind enough to stay with us for two. But let's just start with the basic. Who you got in the Super Bowl this year?
So I've got the Rams over the Texans, which, man, when I was putting this preview together, and I put some nuggets out there, during the process, that I did like Houston more than the market. And then as I release it, we get Aaron Schatz has Houston, there's others who have talked about Houston as kind of the quote unquote kind of sexy AFC team. So I'm a little bit taken aback that so many are on them, and maybe you can see the same qualities that I do. But yeah, I still think it's just such a flawed AFC. Between Mahomes' injury and just so much defensive turnover on that roster. And then I think Buffalo, outside of Josh Allen, I think the roster is really, mediocre. Just a ton of new starters on defense. And then Baltimore, obviously new coaching staff, Lamar, who knows if last year was an aberration, but he's slowing down. I just think there's a lot of holes in the AFC. And, the one thing I know for sure is the Houston defense is elite, and they are going to be elite again, and they play a very manageable schedule. And adding David Montgomery on offense, getting potentially Tank Dell back, I think really adds to this offense. They can be at least above average. I think they've got a shot to get theirs. And then NFC, the Rams are kind of the clear and obvious choice. I initially had San Francisco. I actually have San Francisco winning the division and the Rams coming in second, but then the Rams making the Super Bowl, so a little bit of a quirk there. I just think at the end of the day, it'll take some time to gel. I think the front part of the Rams schedule is really brutal, especially from a travel perspective, and for an older team, could cause some problems. So I can see them having a little bit of a hiccup early and then hitting their stride late, getting into the playoffs, and then making a run with the best roster in the NFL. So I do have the Rams there from the NFC.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday extensively about how they're choosing to travel to Australia, trying to just minimize jet lag by getting there late. We'll see if that works out. One thing before the break here, we have a minute. You casually threw in a little nugget there about Buffalo, and you had a section in your guide, which teams that made the playoffs last year do you expect to miss it this season? And you said the Panthers and Steelers, and I think a lot of people hearing that be like nodding their heads. Okay, I could see both of those teams. But as you continued, you did get to the Buffalo, and I think your sentence was, I wouldn't be that shocked if they missed it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the roster is pretty poor around Josh Allen. They've got, DJ Moore is kind of the big upgrade. He was a shell of himself last year. He'll help, but that's still a weak wide receiver core. You've got Joe Brady obviously taking over for Sean McDermott. Defensively, you got Jim Leonard as a new DC. I mean, no team had more turnover on defense from a snap percentage perspective than the Bills. And they didn't really add anybody that I would call, say is a needle mover. So they're really relying on a lot of young guys having to step up, especially in the secondary. So I'm dubious that they fix any of their, especially in the run defense perspective. I think the defense will be, you're going to need a lot of work from Jim Leonard to upgrade the defense. And then schedule wise, it went from a top 10 easiest schedule last year. I'm looking at a schedule.
Hang tight, Cleve. Hold that thought. We're coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. And Cleve T.A. kind enough to join us for a second segment where he's rudely interrupted by commercials. My God.
That's right.
Not allowed.
Biggest takeaway from that first segment, though, Gil, is that Josh Allen is the most valuable player in the history of football.
I was going to ask you how you took that news.
Yes.
Cleve, by the way, with his free 2026 NFL preview guide available at Cleve Analytics. That's C-L-E-V Analytics. Yes, he's from Cleveland, or he lives in Cleveland. CleveAnalytics.com. And continue, by the way, finish your Bills thought, if you would. I know you were said something about schedule there at the end.
Yeah, yeah. So outside of the roster, just that, you know, they went from one of the 10 easiest schedules last year to one where 11 of the 17 teams they're playing this year are favored to make the playoffs. If you look at, they've got two really brutal stretches. So the first 5 weeks, you got at Houston, Detroit, Chargers, New England, and the Rams. That's a brutal way to start the season. You get a little bit of a reprieve, but then from weeks 10 to 16, you've got the one of the worst kind of rest situations in the entire NFL. I think 46 total rest days in 7 weeks, which is the single toughest stretch when you also consider who they're playing in that stretch. That's a bunch of playoff teams as well. So, I mean, they literally go from like a Sunday night to a Saturday, and then there's a Christmas game, like all different days of the week. It's a really, really tough stretch. So, you know, I just think it's a tough schedule to navigate. Obviously, they have the new home field, so that, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out. But I just think, you know, I know it's tough to say outside of, you know, the best quarterback probably in the NFL and Josh Allen. Things are not great for this team, but he does so much to raise that floor that I, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, it wouldn't stun me. But also, he's like Superman at this point. So he's probably going to carry them on his back and, you know, win their typical 11, 12 games and make the playoffs. But it shouldn't be an easy stretch.
By the way, biggest takeaway from the first segment, Kelly, was that you tried to give away the Survivor tool for free.
That's right. Yes.
That was the biggest takeaway.
Quality promotion from Kelly.
I don't want to give away everything that you have in the guide, but one more team question, because you go through a bunch of stuff. You do, you know, based on look ahead lines and current market win totals, which teams are you higher on than the market, which teams are you lower on than the market. That's all in the guide. Just one last team question, which is you always mentioned since 2008, talking about betting lines here, at least one team has made the playoffs each season with a pre-flop number of plus 280 or longer. If I recall correctly, last year that was the Tennessee Titans. Who would be your pick this year?
Well, last year was tough to find a sleeper. And actually, I think, you know, this year I even write about it. I picked the Titans again. And it's only because, honestly, the options are so limited.
Yes.
I was talking to somebody last week at Bet Bash about how I think what's going on is Miami and the Cardinals are sucking out. Like, they're such long shots with their strength of schedule and how poor the rosters are. They're such long shots to make the playoffs that they're flattening the odds a lot more towards the middle. So normally you'd get a team like, you know, the Vikings or, you know, teams that are, might normally be a little longer shots. Those teams are barely, you know, favored to miss the playoffs. Like, you've gotten a lot. And even with the Seattle and New England last year at 7.5 and 8.5, you know, wins expected and them making the Super Bowl, I think a lot of people are starting to find those, you know, those New Orleans Saints of the world. Like, the teams that normally would much be longer shots are closer to, you know, even odds than you would expect. So to me, I picked the Titans again. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment. Again, not that I expect it to happen. I actually am not predicting it. But if I had to pick one of these longer shots, I went with them. Just, you know, you get Brian Daboll in there to help Cam Ward. Maybe you get the 1 year bump. They add Wandell Robinson, Carnell Tate on offense, you know, real weapons. And defensively, Robert Saleh, we know he may not be a great head coach, but we know he can coach defense. You know, they might have enough defensively to maintain things. And then, you know, the schedule went from the single toughest last year, one that should be much easier, you would expect this year with a last place schedule. So I picked the Titans, but I don't feel confident this year. I usually have a strong sleeper, and I don't feel confident. I do think the Jets are going to be really scrappy. And if you want to ask me what was the single most surprising kind of team chapter, it was the Jets. You can read all about that, but there's so many interesting factors for them. I think they'll be better. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but, you know, that is one, if you really want to go deep amongst the really bad teams, that one would be the team that I think has some level of a chance to be scrappy at least.
Every week that goes by, I'm getting higher and higher on the Jets, and it's not a good feeling. A good feeling.
And by the way, it was terrible of me. I highlighted the Titan that he picked the Titans last year, but you had a lot of great calls last year and in previous years too. LFC Title Records asks on Twitter, can we get Cleve's opinion on the Browns win total of 5.5? He says he's pounding the under. What do you think about the Browns?
Yeah, so I think the number's right on. I have them right around 6 wins. I think that the talent, you know, they've really upgraded from the draft the last 2 years. They've got really good talent, and it sounds like by all accounts that their two young wide receivers, Denzel Boston and KC Concepcion, are playing really well. Like, they're legit starters in this league, along with Harold Fannin. You've got makings of a solid offense. Obviously, the quarterback situation is the big question mark, and Deshaun Watson is favored from all accounts. It sounds like he's going to be starting. So who knows how that goes, but I think the talent is just upgraded. The defense obviously takes a hit without Myles Garrett, but they still have, you know, Jared Verse is not he's not Myles Garrett, but he's still one of the top, call it 12 to 15 pass rushers in this league. So I think they've got enough defensively to keep them in games. And, you know, I think the schedule should be fairly soft. So I don't know. This is a team that is really banking on next year being where they get their quarterback of the future, 2 first round picks. So, you know, you kind of bump into that thing where how much are they really going to want to win at the end of the year? Are they going to sit some of their starters late? That causes some issues with the win total. So, you know, I'm right on the number. I don't think there's really much value either way. I think they're better than most consider after the Myles Garrett trade, but I wouldn't. I think their window is pretty narrow. I think 5-7 is really like there's not a lot of volatility either way because of the talent, but then also bumping into, you know, expectations for the team going forward.
Let's talk some awards. I noticed you did every award. I noticed you did not do comeback player of the year, I don't believe, in the guide. I don't think you wanted any part of that. Is that true?
I did not. Yeah. I don't want to dabble in that market, to be honest. It's really tough.
Let's talk about a couple. Let's do MVP first. You have Drake May as your number one choice.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised his number is as low as it is, double digits. He's behind like Justin Herbert, which I don't understand at all. Like, I get that Mike McDaniel is a big upgrade, but like, that's still a big leap. Drake May should have won the MVP last year. Anyone, I think, that pays attention to the numbers and look at the surrounding talent he had versus what Stafford had, with between coaching and Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams, et cetera. I think Drake May did way more with much less. So to get him at double digits, I think is a nice bargain. You know, and we've gone through all the, I know you've talked about all the different profile of winners. You can see in the preview, and obviously on your show, we've talked about a number of times. He checks all those boxes. And I think it's pretty interesting that, you know, lately it hasn't been any of the teams with the biggest win totals or the teams with the highest expectations to win the Super Bowl that have won MVP. It's like kind of that second tier of quarterbacks that are winning. It's like outside of the top five when it comes to playoff odds. It's interesting. It's like you've got to be good, but not kind of the elite expected team to win it all. That's where the kind of the bucket of quarterbacks have won the most recently from MVP, and he's kind of sticks out in that as well. So I think Drake May is, I think he's a really good quarterback. You add AJ Brown, Romeo Doubs, an improved offensive line. I think he's going to put up big numbers again. And I think he's my favorite at this number.
At this number. And you also mentioned Brock Purdy at his number. So Drake May 10-1, Brock Purdy 18-1, your best bets for that. Let's do one more. We have 60 seconds here. Coach of the year, I thought was pretty interesting. Who'd you end up with there?
So I took Brian Schottenheimer. Doesn't totally fit the historical narrative of kind of the really bad team that improves or jumps up a bunch of wins. But I mean, they were 7-9 last year, Dallas. Look, if this team gets to 11-12 wins, it doesn't take much for the media to overhype a Dallas head coach. And I actually was impressed with what Schottenheimer put together last year. I thought he did a nice job with that offense, you know, improving on the defense through the draft and obviously adding Rashawn Gary as well. You know, this doesn't have to be a great defense for them to improve 4 or 5 wins. So I think at this number, it's interesting. I also had Kyle Shanahan as a long shot, which again, doesn't fit the historical narrative, but because of his car accident and maybe he gets that narrative if they win the NFC West.
Oh, interesting.
At a long shot, could be worth a look. So those are two that I like.
Unless Tony Farmer puts him in jail beforehand, then that's a pretty, you know, that's another thing. That's all another thing. Cleve, I'm sorry I missed you last week, my man. Thank you so much for the time. It's Cleve TA, CleveAnalytics.com. That's C-L-E-V Analytics.com is where you can access his Pro Football Preview Guide on Twitter. Of course, it's Cleve TA, C-L-E-V-T-A. Thank you so much, man. We'll get you on the Megapod this year again.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
My man, Cleve TA, the best in the biz
Oh,
on the football side of things. Mark Borcher, baseball next.